Good morning, everyone. Actually, it's not me doing all that work. It's the crew we have here. They are amazing. So it's our school crew. I'd like to speak to you today about a biblical worldview. The culture has changed, has it not? Radically, at least there was at one time there was an acknowledgement that there was a remnant of a biblical worldview. America was founded imperfectly, but the biblical foundations were there, if you look for them. If you remember, all the Ivy League schools were founded to train ministers of the gospel, a heritage they disavow today. It's interesting that Brown's University motto that's in Rhode Island is, God is our hope. Columbia University, in thy light we see light. And Harvard is Veritas, truth. So the nation has changed. According to the book Coming Apart, in 1963, a divorced person headed just 3.5% of American households, with another 1.6% headed by a separated person. Today it's 28% of children live in single-parent homes. Out-of-wedlock ratio was 3% in 1963. It's 40% and considered normal today. Illegal drugs were rare, 18 arrests per 100,000 people. Religious values were widely held and shared. According to a 1963 Gallup poll, only 1% of respondents said they did not have a religious preference. If you did that today, you're going to find those numbers are way high. Doors were left unlocked, and children were allowed to move around at will. I can attest to this. I got off a public school, got on a school bus, rode downtown Baltimore, walked around and had a music lesson, and I was considered normal. That would not be considered normal today because of the crime. American television portrayed by the family was loving, traditional. There was no profanity on television. No content could ridicule religion or take God's name in vain or be the least bit suggested, because there was an effort to protect the morals of society. That has changed. What's happened? The worldview has changed. God has been removed. And whenever there's a vacuum, it has to be filled. And it's been filled with a secular view, which is diametrically opposed to biblical admonitions. And so the culture has changed. You know what has happened in Portland this weekend? They're burning Bibles. They're burning Bibles in Portland. So if you hold the biblical truth, you're very much aware of this trend. If you'll turn to Romans 12:2, when the Roman Empire ruled the world, Paul wrote to Christians this following admonition, and be not conformed to this world. This is Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is saying, listen, Christians in Rome, stop allowing yourself to be molded in the pattern of this age. Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. So today, it's not unusual for people who consider themselves to be Christians to be wholeheartedly accept modern cultural norms, trends, ideas, and philosophies, and embrace them with enthusiasm, regardless of the biblical consideration. They see nothing wrong with a host of behaviors that even people in times past considered unacceptable to non-Christians. Based on polling in 2019, a majority of Americans support same-sex marriage, 31% oppose. Two-thirds of Americans say that the use of marijuana should be legal. Guess what? Some of these attitudes are accepted by Christians. The cultural tide has not been resisted. So this idea of squeezing into a mold has affected many. So Paul's charge was to resist the pressure. So this is what we see today. The removal of God or anything that refers to God. The promotion of sexual freedom without regard to God. Everything is permitted. The embracing that idea that man was formed, not by God, but undirected forces over billions of years. Man is actually an animal. The thinking is that you can write your own moral code today, whatever works for you. The only sin today is being intolerant. Not accept, don't judge, okay? Don't judge. Do we still have gods? We do. Youth, beauty, fame, riches, power are worshipped as gods and ends unto themselves. So this confirmation, this squeezing into a mold, is urged on by educational institutions. It's by the media, social media, peer pressure, advertising, podcasts, corporations, government fiat, society's approval, all based on a satanic effort to manipulate humanity into following the self-indulgent cravings of a depraved heart. Let's look at Romans 1, because Romans 1 really describes this idea of a Christian biblical worldview. Verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Does this sound familiar, by the way? "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made into a corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all righteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." And it goes on. So this unbiblical thinking, so prevalent in our culture today, will cause Christians maybe to accept some ideas that are condemned by God. And we're warned in Colossians 2:8, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world." Beware lest anyone, the spoil is not like rotten egg spoil. It's more like despoil. It's a old word that means almost like kidnap, to take away, to rob. We would say, beware the danger of being taken hostage. Don't let your mind be kidnapped through hollow and deceptive philosophy of the world, which depends on human tradition. You take a young person who grew up in a good church and heard the truth about God, went to Sunday school, VBS. He heads off to a state university in one semester, sitting under the influence of those who are opposed to Christianity. He's taken captive by atheistic thought, after the tradition of man and not after Christ. He returns home to announce that he has rejected the faith, that no longer makes any sense to him. He does not believe in God anymore. His parents are heartbroken and do not recognize him anymore. He was, in a sense, despoiled. He was morally kidnapped by his professors. By the way, that's not an exception. Barna estimates that roughly 70% of high school students who enter colleges professing Christians will leave with little to no faith. Is there any wonder why we promote Christian colleges? We do. There's a reason for it. These students do not usually return to the faith even after graduation. As Barna predicts, 80% of those reared in the church will be disengaged by the time they're 29. And some studies assume that this will occur. This disengagement begins in upper elementary. None of us are immune from drifting from God. But that verse is not written to college students there in Colossians. That's why it's vital for us as Christians and as a church and as parents to have a thoroughly biblical worldview. As believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to look at the world through the lens of Scripture. We look at any topic with our Bible glasses on so we can make sense of the world. And we need to teach our children this view as well, so they're not caught up in the ever-changing, ever-depraved philosophies of the moment. How important it is for us to look at the world through the grid of Scripture, to see things as God sees them. Why? So we can live a life pleasing to Christ, so we can render to God what he's asked us to do. What is that? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Worldview is simply a way to make sense of the world. The biblical worldview considers the major issues of life and provides a comprehensive answer for it. Brother Scott and I, we look alike. No, we don't. But we do have we have a couple similarities. We're both left-handed, and we're both colorblind. I don't know if that qualifies for a handicap thing, but I should certainly like to apply for one. But we're both colorblind. And this idea of colorblindness is pretty interesting. It's called Daltonism, by the way, if you look it up. What happens when we slip on? I know they have colorblind glasses. Like, you can put them on, and all of a sudden your world changes, and you start crying or something. I don't know. But I would like to try them. What happens when you slip on your Christian worldview glasses, and you can look at everything from God's point of view? What's it going to look like? Well, it's God-centered, right? The first thing, you're going to look at the world from God's perspective. As a God-centered worldview, you're going to look at it through Genesis 1:1. You're going to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, the obedience of Christ. We will see, when we put on our Christian biblical worldview glasses, we'll see the assurance that everything you can see was created. We're here on purpose. We're just not this random existence. We're not cosmic dust with no real purpose or meaning. We're here to glorify God for their lives. There is purpose in life. There is meaning in life. More to acquire fame or riches, the American dream. We'll see that no secular view, when we put these glasses on, will account for the phenomena of man in the universe. The secular view just takes away God and tries to account for everything in the universe without a creator. You know, given enough time, anything can happen. All you need is 1 billion years. That idea is not only anti-God, it defies any sense of logic. The narrative of the entire universe being condensed into the head of a pin and then exploding. How does that create a complex universe? Explosions do not normally produce orderly things. So we have an orderly universe governed by physical laws. The only thing you can explain that is by our Creator, God. But we're teaching our kids in our schools that didn't happen. You put on your glasses, you see that man wasn't cooked up in this Darwinian warm pond. Life does not come from non-life. Billions of years of mutations do not produce human beings. That's the apex of God's creation. God created us. The most complex software ever created is DNA. Your DNA, if you unfurl it, I think it'd go to Pluto. It's extremely complex. There is no way that it evolved from a warm pond. But we see what was centered into the world. When we put our glasses on, we see things change. Death, sorrow, disease, it's the result of sin. We begin with paradise, which sin corrupted for man and animals and the earth. We're not left alone. We see that God provided us with salvation. God had a plan to redeem fallen humanity. Those glasses are pretty important, right? That biblical worldview is very important. We also see the view of this present world. The worldview of a Christian sees heaven as home and earth is merely camping. Yes, camping. We're just camping. I don't know if you like to camp or not, but that's really what it is. We live for our ultimate destination. Our lodging is temporary. So those glasses show us that. We see that those glasses show that we're called to be holy. The secular view rejects this, of course. So what's the pursuit for us? It's holiness, which is considered weird. It's considered weird. What are we to pursue according to the world? Happiness, whatever makes you happy, man. We see that it's important that people come to know God and grow in their faith when we have a biblical worldview. Your life's purpose will be God-directed and not merely self-centered. So we reject, with our spiritual glasses on, our worldview, the secular worldview, that there is no God, that there is no sin, that there is no salvation, no accountability, no heaven, no hell. Earth is our home. We reject that. We reject that our feelings answer the big questions of life, my rules. Any Christian who's thoroughly imbued with scriptures will say, okay, I reject that. That's just moral corruption. We see also that the secular worldview cannot address the issues of crime or racism or bullying, because what are the roots of these problems? It's a lack of morality. We can see it as a Christian. How can you have morals without God? So the secular worldview is morally indifferent. And you can see that both worldviews are based on faith. As a follower of the Creator, we embrace our faith, as Hebrews 11 tells us. But the secular view, there's no consequences to rejecting Christ. That's also based on faith, by the way. God tells us in Romans 1, we read that there is enough light in creation to hold us morally accountable. Man is what? Without excuse. Deep down, humankind knows there is a God. But why do we suppress that knowledge? Well, we don't want there to be a God. The unsaved person doesn't want there because you're accountable to God. So we see that a biblical worldview, and here's the great thing of being able to imbue that to young people in a Christian school, it gives us an identity. We are in Christ. And a driving force. It gives us confidence in a world that's gone mad. A biblical worldview brings a sense of stability to life. It energizes you for godly living. It anchors you. And the biblical worldview helps you filter out the good from the bad through the grid of Scripture. I just changed the filters in my air conditioning unit. I can't believe it's just a month. And I pull the thing out. It's like, what? That thing is, what is that? You put it in, it looks brand new, and then another month, wow. We need filters, right? We need filters. A clean filter will keep out those unbiblical ideas from turning our worldview away from God. Our children need these. We see that the biblical worldview gives us a way to think ethically. Since we are made in God's image, right? We are moral beings. So what's our aim? To be Christ-like. To show love, to show mercy, holiness. We look at things through that. So how does the worldview like help us with the issue of racism? Well, it's really easy. We're all descendants of Noah. There's one race. Scripture says God has no respecter of persons. Paul addresses it. We're one in Christ. As Christians, we're to be kind and love and have empathy. And we can see that racism is actually morally wrong. So for the Christian, there shouldn't be any problem with that. Any issue that comes up, I'm just picking that as one because it seems to be popular. But the idea that you can look at your biblical worldview and have a position. The problem is that the secular worldview can say some things are wrong, but they can't say why because they don't have a moral foundation. We can say, well, there's injustice. Well, you have to have justice to have injustice. And where does justice come from? It comes from God. So it's a moral position. If you don't believe in morals, why not be a racist? We had a whole society in World War II that believed in racism as a matter of public policy, and everyone followed it. It was the Nazi Germany. So the secular worldview has problems in giving solid reasons for why things should be. Can look at society's problems through the grid of Scripture, and we can understand why it's wrong. We can provide an answer. Abortion is wrong. Why? Life is sacred. Racism is wrong. Why? Because we're descendants of Adam, and the Bible addresses it. So a worldview that's a biblical one, it should have a radical effect on our lives, should it not? What's the solution? Well, all of us have to study the Word of God to develop that worldview. We have to be in the Word. In other words, we need the filters. We need that. Are we taking in the truth? Or are we rejecting the cultural mandates that are out there? That's really at war with God. Hollywood's certainly at war with God, so we have to filter out all that junk. Are we absorbing the culture with our lives and taking a low view of Scripture? Every Christian home needs to be engaged in the business of communicating a Christian worldview. It's not to be left to Sunday school. I love teaching Sunday school, and I prefer to teach elementary. But it's okay. I'm here, so that's good. But it's not up to the youth group. I'm so thankful for Brother Scott. I'm thankful for the youth group. That's up to us as parents, as believers. It's not up to the Christian school either. Now, we're going to be teaching a Christian worldview all the time. But these are good things, but they're supplemental. The home is what gives you that worldview. Teach kids the truth. Teach them to put on the whole armor of God. And according to Deuteronomy 6, that's to be done how often? All the time. Children need to understand the truth of God's word, because the world is intent on giving them a worldview. It certainly is. As Christians, every one of us should be intentional about shaping the worldview of our young people. We can't be passive in this area. The world is very intent on capturing the minds. So everyone, not just young people, we need guidance. Just think of, I don't know how many millions of commercials you see in your lifetime. Do you think that has no effect on you at all? It does have an effect. They want it to affect. They want you to buy stuff, and they'll use any means possible. They want to what? Influence you to do something. Churches also need to understand this. The importance of inculcating a Christian, a biblical worldview to help believers think biblically. And I'm so thankful that we aim to do that. We need to be able to not only defend our faith, but we need to have discernment in a culture that has no discernment and is open for anything. So things are bad, right? Can we do this? Can we actually do this? Can we adopt a biblical worldview and hold it? Yes, it's been done already. I'm thinking of an orphan young man who was hauled off to a new culture, given a new name, and was to be re-educated in the norms of this new society. Despite his youth, and despite lack of parents, and despite attempts of his new masters, Belteshazzar retained a godly worldview. He was probably 15, maybe 16, when the Babylonians hauled him off and tried to their best to re-educate him as in the proper mold of a Babylonian. The change in scenery, the change in name, the re-education was to reduce all former attachments to Israel and to his God, his family, and to give him a new worldview. Everything about his world changed, everything, even his name, his new home, his education, his environment. It was a perfect way to remake a young man and give them a worldly view. But it didn't work. It didn't work. And we know who that was, right? It was Daniel. He stayed true to God. He may have been called by a new weird name, but he would always be Daniel, which means God is my judge. And Daniel's name references the one true God. If you look at Daniel's life, you will never see him compromising with the world. He stayed true to God no matter what the difficulty came his way. And he did that. He must have had godly parents. I really believe someone trained Daniel with the right worldview. It was true in age 15, 16. It was true at 80. It was true in a Babylonian court. It was true in a Persian court. How'd that happen? How did he retain this godly worldview? Well, someone, I think it was a godly dad, a godly mom, perhaps, instilled in Daniel a biblical worldview at an early age. They gave him the right perspective on the world. He never veered from it. We must do the same. It can be done, and it has been done, even when there were no parents around and all the support mechanisms for a young man were gone. He could have embraced Babylon, and no one would have known the difference. But he didn't. He lived in it. He was polite, but he rejected it. His worldview never crumbled. He retained what his parents taught him about the Lord. He saw and understood God as his creator through the revelation of Scripture and creation. His life was an intentional effort to glorify God. I mean, Daniel is the role model for a teen today. And to me, when I look at that, I say, well, it's so bad. Well, Daniel did it. Babylon was a whole lot different than America. So it gives us hope that children and grandchildren can have a God-centered worldview and retain it. They can do it. So God helping us, let us continue to have a Christian worldview and teach it to our children and grandchildren. And it matters. I'll give you three reasons why. First of all, a biblical worldview sets us apart from the world. We have to think differently, right? We have to. A wrong worldview leads us astray. Secondly, it helps to transform us spiritually. Our minds will be darkened, as Romans 1. And we gloriously emerge from a view when we immerse ourselves in Scripture. It's like taking a spiritual bath. We see the light in a dark world. And lastly, it helps us to know how to live. We can have those renewed minds. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have discernment so we can determine how to live God's way. So those are a few thoughts on having a biblical worldview. I know we have it. I want to impress upon you the importance of it and why it's so important that we impress this upon our young people, our grandchildren, how important a biblical worldview is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would help us as a church and as parents and as grandparents that we would thoroughly embrace a worldview that's from Scripture and that we would transmit it to the next generation. Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.